Genesis chapter 29. Now look down to verse 18. And Jacob loved Rachel. Just sounds good to start with, doesn't it? And said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her unto thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Let's pray. Father, help us now this evening. Lord, it's Valentine's season, and it's a big deal in our country, in our tradition, in our society. And I pray, oh Lord, that you'd help us to celebrate it aright and properly, to express our love one to another, maybe to give some demonstration of that love. But I pray, oh God, that you'd help us in all things to remember the greatest love is not human love. It's not even the love between a husband and a wife. It is your love for us. Help us not only know that, but to tell that to this world that's dying to be loved. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'll bring a message tonight entitled, A Real Love Story Never Has an Ending. I saw that on a little placard or a card or something at one of those 5,000 antique stores my wife drug me through. That woman likes antique stores and consignment stores. And we were in one here a while back, and it had a little thing with a frame on it, and it said, A Real Love Story Never Has an Ending. I thought about it. I like that. You read all the stories and all the fairy tales and read all the books, and when you get down to the end, it says, the end. There's some things I just don't want to end. And my love, my relationship with my wife just happens to be one of those things. I saw a thing a couple of years ago. It said, if you live to be 100, I want to live to be 100 plus one day so that I never have to... I want you to live 100 plus one day so that I never have to spend a day without you. I had that made into a little plaque and had a picture put on it and put a nice fancy mahogany frame on it and gave it to my wife. Because I don't ever spend a day without her. She really is the joy of my life. I've said this 1,000 times, I'll say it again. I could be a door-to-door salesman for love and marriage. I think it's the bedrock of just about everything that's worth anything in this life. A nation is no stronger than its families. Families are no stronger than the relationship between husband and wife. And a husband and wife relationship can never be any stronger than those relationships that are founded in Christ. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes. A real love story never has an end. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 29, verse 18 through 20, that we just read, how this man served for his wife 7 years. And it seemed like just a whiff of time. It was in reality 7 long years. But it just went by just like that because he was so in love. Now, I think that's wonderful that a person can be so wrapped up in and so enamored in the love of another person that it tends to overshadow the hardships, the difficulties of life. This man had to work and labor, yet it was a work and a labor of love because the woman that he had fixed his eye upon was worth whatever price he had to pay to have her. In Genesis chapter 24 and verse 67, the Bible said, And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Young man had lost his mother, left an empty place in his life. He went on with life, but all of us has lost a parent or somebody down through the years, a grandparent, and that were special to us. And you know what an empty void that leaves? And so this young man, sometime after his mother's passing, takes a wife. And he loves her, but that love brought a comfort to him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That in this world, with its losses, with its heartaches, we can find comfort for our heart. We can find comfort for our soul. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 19, "Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love." Always. You ought to be enraptured with the love of your spouse, of your wife. She ought to be everything to you. She ought to meet all your needs. Your physical relationship ought to be stay healthy and vibrant all down through the years. It should not wane because of passage of time or because of familiarity. It's something that God has given us that should last us throughout our life as we share that life with our husband or our wife. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 9, the Bible said, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life." There's two things in that verse. One, live joyfully. Live joyfully. Marriage is not supposed to be a combat. It is not a contest. We are not to be each other's antagonist. We are to, in fact, love one another and enjoy one another. You say, "Well, preacher, you know, men and women are different." Well, of course I know that. I mean, you can look at us and tell we're different. Everybody except the homo crowd, they can't tell. They're mentally defective. But all those people with a sound mind know that they're different. Amen. But God has made those differences for a reason. We are to complement each other. I supply some things and she supplies some other things. And between the two of us, we have every need supplied. Does that bring about some conflict from time to time? Well, of course it does. But you don't want life to be boring, do you? Get married and it won't be. But not only are we to live joyfully all the day. See, I want to keep emphasizing that always, be ravished always. Live joyfully always. All the days of thy life. You see, the condition, the happiness of matrimony that we experience when first we marry, it should not diminish, it should not go away. Now, it may change in outward appearance from giddiness to a very sober respect and a quiet and settled peace, but the love ought to be enriched and stronger as the days go by. They should never, ever be diminished. Then it said in that same verse, "For this is thy portion." If you're looking for anything better, you're wasting your time. The best thing that Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the best thing He has for you, gentlemen, is your wife. She is a treasure sent down from above. And she should not only is a treasure, but she should be treasured. The man that's found a good wife ought to thank God Almighty every day of his life. Am I promoting a state where we never have a disagreement and we are in perfect harmony and we only have one personality? No. I understand, and God understands, the nature of women and the nature of men, and that there are going to be places where we grate one with another. But God also knows that we can work through those things and overcome those things and surpass those things where we, in the end, we really have become one flesh. We think alike. We see things alike. But you can't do that if you scrap the marriage and start over again and start over again and start over again. Marriage has to be pursued. It has to be maintained. It has to be worth the fight to keep it alive. I found in my personal life that everything I ever wanted that was worth a hoot had to be worked for. Marriage is no different. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing." You're a good thing. Now, it did not say, and nowhere in Scripture does it say, "He that findeth a woman findeth a good thing." Because there are some bad women. There are loose women and ungodly women and bitter women and angry women. There are all kinds of folks out there. But he that findeth a wife, that is a woman whose heart is invested in her husband and her children, whose heart is settled on home, and whose priorities are enriching him and them, has found a jewel that God Almighty gave him. He that findeth a wife hath found a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The Bible also said in Proverbs chapter 19, and verse 14, "A prudent wife is from the Lord." Gentlemen, do you have a wife that you can trust with your checkbook? Have you got a wife that you can trust in the presence of the opposite sex when you're not there? Do you have a wife who is in possession of common sense? Who has character and integrity? So that you can leave the home place without having to worry and fret every minute of your absence about what she's done or what she's got you into or what decisions she's made? Do you have a prudent wife, one that uses her head, knows when to consult with her husband, knows when to say no to the news, the magazine salesman? A prudent woman. A woman with a good head on her shoulder. You got one of those? You better thank God for it. Because there's a bunch of harebrains out there. If you've got a good one, thank God. Now, I could read you a whole bunch more verses, but I want to use these and extract from these few verses some 6 or 7 points that I would like to talk about very briefly as regarding our wives. Now, some of you may have had problems in your past. You're divorced and remarried. I'm not interested in that. I'm not talking about that. The one you've got right now, you love that one. You take care of that one. Amen. We're not going to live on ancient history. And we are not one of those churches that think people who have had the misfortune of a divorce or whatever in their life, that you're some kind of... We don't believe that. I believe God forgives that just like He forgives everything else. And if you live for God from that time forward, that's just like any other sinner that got a sin forgiven and lives for God thereafter. Amen. But I want to extract from these few verses some 6 or 7 points about our wives and our life with them and how to make as much out of it as we can. It's obvious from the scripture that we read that the best thing that God has for you is your wife. Surely you do not want to take the best thing that there is and minimize it or throw it away or damage it. Amen? Most of us, I'm surely anybody with any sense at all, would want their love to grow, their marriage to prosper, that they might have a good life and a healthy life and a happy life. So let me give you these five or six things. Number one, your wife came before your children. They need to bear that in mind. Say, so what are you saying? Well, in Exodus, the Bible, there's a man that says, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children. There really is room for all of that. We have the capacity to love more than one thing at a time and love all of them well. Amen? And we ought to love our children. Children are a heritage from the Lord. We have a duty. We have a responsibility. We have an obligation to raise them, to train them, to teach them, and to raise them, train them, and teach them right. And to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We should be involved in their lives and committed to the rearing of our children in the fear of God. And we ought to be committed to teaching them right principles and right convictions. And we ought to be committed to supplying them all the things that are needful and necessary. Food and clothing and medical attention and maybe even some of the good things in life. I'm glad that in our day and age, more than at any other time in human history, moms and dads are involved in the lives of their children. But we cannot, we must not forget that the foundation relationship in our life precedes the advent of our children. We can't forget about mom and dad. You know, here's what happens. We get married. We are blissfully happy. We are just madly in love. The fruit of our love is offspring. We have children. And then daddy gets committed to making all the money he can to provide as good a living as he can, to take care of the needs and responsibilities that he has, to raise his children, provide for them. And so he gets bound up and bogged down in work. Mom, on the other hand, gets bogged down in the children because they're so demanding. They require a lot of time and a lot of attention. And they're so dumb, everything has to be done over and over and over again. A woman's life would be so much easier if children could learn in one lesson. Somebody say amen. But sometimes, man, you got to teach them the same lesson over and over and over and over again. And then there's so many facets of child rearing that demands mom's time and attention. And pretty soon, she's so involved in the children and he's so involved in work that we let the relationship between mom and dad languish. Therein is a tragedy. While we should not neglect the one, we should not neglect the other either. We've got to have some mama and daddy time. There's got to be some time for us to talk and some time for us to share and some experiences that we enjoy without the children. We've got to have a life that just knits and bonds mom and dad together just like we're trying to spend time with our children and bond together with them. If we don't bond as husband and wife, sooner or later it comes apart. Marriage is a complicated thing. It's worth the effort. But we have to remember that not only do we have a responsibility to those children, we have a responsibility to each other. And Daddy, you and I need to work as hard as we can at keeping Mama happy and making Mama feel loved and making Mama feel connected and making her feel important. You say, well, she needs to do that to me. Yes, she does. And we preach that in another message tonight. We're on us. Number two. You need to love the wife of your youth into your old age. All the days of thy vanity. Remember, I don't know how y'all did. I mean, I'm assuming y'all had the same bubbly, perky feeling I had when I met my wife. The only person I talked to on the telephone for 6 months was her. Of course, back in them days, you know, we had one phone, and it was in the hall, and it was a green phone. It had this long yellow cord that was curlicue thing. It was all tied in knots, but we had a 25-footer, and that was so you could go in any bedroom in the house and close the door and lay down on the floor and put your feet up on the wall and talk for 3 hours. Because back in them days, we had better sense than they got now. You didn't date all during the week. You didn't see each other all during the week. You dated her on Friday night or Saturday night, and half the time that date was at home with Mom and Daddy. Amen? The very idea of letting boys and girls that are single go off in cars together for 3, 4, 5 hours and they're not married, that's just insanity. Amen. But when we were dating, she was all I thought about. She's the only person I wanted to talk to. Remember, some of y'all remember when you were back there dating the one you're married to now? And how infatuated you were? And boy, you made up your mind, us men, I'm going to marry that little girl and I'm going to give her a little white house, a lick-a-picky fence, and we're going to live happily ever after. And she was your whole wide world. Remember that? And every time you got around her, you just kind of had goosebumps all over. And you felt kind of silly and giddish and probably made a fool out of yourself about 100 times trying to show her how cool you were. Am I the only one that did that? That's what I thought. And then we get married, and in a year or two, everything seems to be on the decline. All of a sudden, she's the old lady. And he's the old man. And we got time for anybody and everybody under God's big blue sky except her. Well, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. You didn't work at keeping the love alive. Did you think it was just going to be magic? And that love and that giddy feeling, that super feeling you had when her name is mentioned or when you see her come to the door, you think that was just going to last without any help? Nothing else in life does. Everything in your life that you maintain over a long period of time requires effort on your part. Things left to itself fall apart. You ought to love your wife in such a way that when you grow old, you still love her just like always. Then, we notice there in Proverbs 5:19, there was the physical side of love. That's a treasure and a pleasure given by God, reserved for marriage. Marriage is honorable in all the bed thereof, undefiled. But adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. You cannot discuss husband-wife relationships without discussing the physical relationship at some point. It is not all that makes a relationship, but it is a critical part of a relationship. It cannot be ignored except with dire results. It's incumbent upon us to make sure that that part of our life is as satisfying and mutually gratifying to both sides as every other part of our relationship. If you give it the preeminence, the marriage is out of balance and it will fall apart. If you ignore it, the marriage is out of balance and it will fall apart. It must be a continual, constant present in our life. It shouldn't have great ups and downs. It should not be a barrier. It ought to be a mutually agreeable thing between a husband and a wife so that it can exist pleasurably throughout the length of our marriage. I'm not getting any amens. Some of y'all backslid or what? Some people, when you mention the physical relationship of marriage, everybody's going, it's not dirty. It's not dirty. It's not taboo. So, well, we don't talk about that in our house. Well, you've got a problem. I guarantee your kids are talking about it. They talk about it with you or somebody else. Amen? Why? Because it's a major portion of our lives, especially in our youth. Don't stick your head in the sand and pretend it doesn't exist. Don't be so dumb that you don't think your children, your young people are affected by it or interested in it, because they are. You know what Dr. Dobson said? Well, Dr. Dobson said that young men between the ages of 13 and 25 think about sex every 10 seconds. I thought, who could go that long without thinking about it? Then we learn from those passages that the love of a wife should be a comfort. Comfort. Now, I know every man here is an alpha male. If you don't believe it, ask any of us. We all are by our own estimation. We are big and bad and bold and tough, mean and surly, and we can take care of ourselves. And we can take care of our... Somebody say amen right there, buddy. I mean, I never ran into a fellow that was worth 10 cents. Well, I'm a wimp and I'm afraid of everything. And if they come after my wife, I'd pray for her. But not us. We snap out them kimbers and we'd be on them. Amen. So, us guys who are so big and bad, we can face down anybody and anything, and we're America's stormtroopers, you know. Us red-blooded, independent, King James-only guys. You would never think that we needed to be comforted. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to bust somebody's bubble, but the truth is, all the men that I know are a lot more fragile than you got any idea. I'm talking about in the real world, with real people. Those alpha males have feelings and they get their feelings hurt. And they have egos and they get their egos crushed. And they have expectations and they get deflated. And we get wounded and we get hurt. Of course, we don't tell anybody. American men, Italian men, hold hands and tell each other, you know. We're not going to do that. We're John Wayne's. Amen? So we keep everything to ourselves. American men, we internalize everything. Because we can't admit we've been wounded. But you know what I've learned? I've seen, not only in my own life, but in the lives of others, that a really good wife that has learned her husband, and believe me, gentlemen, they learn us, knows when you've been hurt. She knows how you talk, how you behave, the way you sulk. It's amazing what they can figure out about us. And a good wife learns how and when to comfort her John Wayne. Amen. Don't kid me. You've been there. And if you haven't been, you will be. And you're gonna appreciate and thank God one of these days for that wife that knew just what to say to pick you up out of the doldrums, to help you brush off and massage your manhood and go out tomorrow with that same stern look you had this morning. Wives are great comforters. Now, I'm not sure that men are as good at it as ladies are. We're on the caregiving side of life. But a good wife ought to be a comfort. Ought to be somebody you can confide in and rely on and trust and know that what you commit to her stays with her. It's not going to be all over the neighborhood the next time she goes to the local gab session. Not going to take the family laundry and hang it out all over the town and put it all on Facebook. And fifthly, the love of your life ought to be a joy, and marriage ought to be joyful. It ought not be something we just get through and endure. Well, we just stayed together because of the kids. I don't know if that's better for the kids or not, if that's the attitude you got. I'm sure it is. You understand what I'm saying? We just stayed together because of. What a terrible thing to say. And if it's true, what an awful way to live. I want to stay with you because I can't find anybody else. I don't want to stay with you just because the children need a two-parent family. I want to stay with you because I like you. I want what we had 50 years ago to be what we have today. I want to stay with you whether it was any children or not. Marriage ought to be joyful. There ought to be some pleasure. There ought to be some fun in it. It ought to be exciting. I like what Brother Bruce said a minute ago. She's my best friend. I've heard Brother Tommy Stewart say, "My wife is my best friend." I know for sure that my wife is my best friend. If I'm not playing golf, we're probably together. Amen? Now, Brother Lewis, is that your best friend? Could you have a better friend? I can't think of anybody I would have more on my side than her. She's been rooting for me and pulling for me and taking my side in everything for 50 years. I would tell you the honest truth. I love having a best friend. And I'm glad she lives in the same house with me. So I don't have to go look her up. I don't have to say, "Mama, can I go down and see Billy? Who's Billy? Billy, my best friend." I just go in the kitchen and she's standing there doing dishes or peeling taters or whatever. And I give her a little kiss on the neck and a little hug. So why'd you do that? Because she's my best friend. Amen. Ever see that? Y'all see that movie, Sweet Home Alabama? You know that line in there where she said, "And why would a boy like you marry a girl like me?" And he said, "So I could kiss you anytime I want to." That's my favorite line. Say why? Because every time I say that, I get me a kiss. I'm enjoying being married. It's not drudgery. It's not slavery. It's not compulsion. It's not habit. I'm not doing it for appearance sake. I'm doing it because she's my best friend and we have a good time together. Love is for a lifetime. Let me say this about married love. Love and marriage are always a work in progress. Never a time you can let up. Never a time you can take the other one for granted. Always got to be working at it. I want it to be stronger and better tomorrow than it was today. And I have seen in life what happens when you let things go. My wife and I, since I retired, one day a week, sometimes two, take what we call day trips. That's where we just jump in the car and take off. Last Thursday, we jumped in the car about 7:30 in the morning, and we ended up down in Aiken, South Carolina, about 20 miles from Augusta. Put 300 miles on the car that day. See, what was y'all doing? We just riding around. Eating. And riding around. And talking. We never turned on the radio, never turned on the CD player. Just me and her. We just enjoyed each other. We got back home and pulled under the carport, and I turned the key off in the car, started opening the door, and my wife said, "I had a good time today. I had a good time." And I said, "Yeah, me too. I had a good time." That's the way marriage ought to be. Not just when you start, but at the end. But you have to work on it all the way through, or it'll fall apart before you get down here. You got to put as much labor and much time, as much effort and much prayer into perfecting that marriage and keeping it alive after 30 years or 40 years as you did when you first started. Don't ever get to where you take the other one for granted and you don't have to tell them you love them. You don't have to show them you love them. You don't have to spend time with them. If you do that, it will fall apart. I'm a believer that a real love story never has an ending. It just goes on and on and on. The greatest love story I ever read, I found in this book. The greatest love I've ever known, I found in Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible said in Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 4? Now this used to be my life's verse. You know, if I sent you a letter, I sent you a card, I would put on it Song of Solomon 2:4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. He brought me, and his banner is love. God is love. Bible said in John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Jesus Christ brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me was love, and that love carried him to Calvary's cross to die for me. There's another verse in Song of Solomon that I like. It's one of my favorite verses. It said, "Arise, my love, and come away with me." Arise, my love. That's what you say when you say, "Will you be my wife?" Arise, my love, and come away with me. But one of these days, the Lord Jesus is going to descend for His bride. And He will say, "Arise, my love, come away with me." And that's a love story that has no end. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. Lord, I thank You for the good marriages that are represented in this place. The years that we've known them, seen their dedication and their faithfulness. Lord, the example they've been. We thank You for Brother Lewis and Sister Nathalia. The example they've been not only to the church, but to their children and their community. Brother and Sister Elliot, their faithfulness one to another. Brother and Sister Kathy Stewart, Lord, what a blessing to see them faithful year in and year out, enamored in each other. Brother Bruce and Sister Terry, Lord, what a blessing it is. 40 years, and he says today, "She's my best friend." Lord, we thank You for those marriages. I pray that heaven will pour out their best on each and every one. Those marriages will be rich and strong and lasting. Help us to work and labor and pray that our marriages would be joyful and fruitful and an example for the generation that follows behind us. Lord God, we thank you for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you guys will just sit still a minute or two and let my wife and Miss Nathalia run back and turn on the candles and all that stuff. Somebody want to give us a testimony or something for a minute or two? A little sermonette? Yes, ma'am. First, but in the children, community, sister, brother, Elliot, faithfulness, their faith, another, one to another, brothers, Cass, sister, Stuart, so blessed, Lord, what a blessing. Deceitful, faithful, year in, year out, and year out, enamored, enamored in each other. Bruce, brother, Terry, Lord, sister, blessed, Lord, what a blessing it is. 4 years, 40 years, says to us, and he's today, she's my friend, my best friend. We thank the Lord with marriage you for the praise I pray that will heaven out there pour out the best each on everyone and everyone. Married, those will be riches, rich and rich, strong, strong and lasting. Help us to help and work and pray, labor, pray that our marriages would be marriage joyful, joyful, fruitful, example, and an example generation for the generation that is behind us. Lord God, we thank you for all. We thank you, love it. Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, you guys, if that's still with us too, in a little minute, my wife and Nessa come back, Leah, run back and candle, turn on that stuff and all that. Want to give us somebody money or something to test a minute something for a minute or two? A little sermon, a little sermonette? Yes, ma'am. That are community, but children, community, sister, yet, brother, Elliot, their faithfulness, one another, their faith, one to another, brothers, Kathy, sister, Stuart, the bless us, Lord, what a blessing. Faithful to see you in it, faith out, year and year enamored in each other, enamored other. Bruce, Terry, Lord, brother, bless sister, says, so what a fortune it is, says, 40 years, and she's my day friend, my best friend. We thank with marriage, go pray for the desire that will out there heaven pour out their best, each, everyone, on sin. Every marriage will be those changes, strong, rich, lasting, strong, and lasting. Help us to work and help and pray, work, labor, pray that our marriages would be marriageful, be fruitful, joyful, fruitful, example, and any generation Paul followed for the generation behind it. Lord God, we thank you for all, Lord, we thank you. Love it. Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, you guys, that still, if you do, and let's just, my little minute, just that wife and come back, Leah run, and candle, that stuff, turn on the candles and all that stuff. Want to give us money or something? Somebody want a minute to test me? Something for a minute or two? A little sermon? A little sermonette? Yes, ma'am. That are community, but children, sister, unity, yet. Brother, their Elliotfulness, one another. Their faith, brothers, one to another. Kath, Stuart, sister, Blathy, us. Lord, what a blessing. Be them faithful, year in it, to see out, faith, humored, and year out in each other. Enamored, brother, Bruce, Terry, Lord, bless, brother, bless, sister, for what a year's sin it is. Says that 40 years, she's my son, he's friend. They. We thank our best for marriage. Pray, thank you for that His eye will out there, heaven will pour out each and best, everyone. On marriage, and it will be one. And those marriages will last rich and strong and help us to think and pray, help work, labor, pray that our marriages will be joyful, marriage fruitful, be joyful, example, fruitful, generation, and any follows Paul for the generation behind. For God, we thank you for all. We thank Jesus, love it, in Jesus' name. Now, if you guys sit still, to let, if my oldest is still a minute, now I'm back, wife and Leah run candle and that stuff, turn on the candles and all that stuff. want to give us money or something? I mean, somebody wants to test something for a little sermon or two? Yes, Manette? Ma'am. That a community, but sister children get community. Brothers and sisters, Ellie, another. Brothers and faith, Kathy, one, two, Stuart, bless sister, the us, Lord Williams, and faithful, year in and out, to see, hammered, year in each other, year out. In Nam, Bruce, another, Terry, Lord, bless us, brother.